Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by the legends of Dyson Logistics, coming at you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking. We're supported by the legends at Cripps and Cripps Real Estate. That's Jason Hawes. At the end of it all, we wash it all down with a Shark Island Brewing Company beer, and we get our grass cut by Endeavour Property Services. I'm one half of the podcast, Sharks fanatic Newman. And I'm joined, as I am every week, by my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sydney singer-songwriter, and Fox Sports stats man, Sam Shenazzi. How are you?
Hey, Newman. Three in a row for the first time since the end of 2018. Got a bit of a spring in my step. That's not true, I don't. But I'm very happy for the boys, for the club, for the fans, for the members. And I want to give a shout-out to all of our listeners. They make us feel so loved every week with their correspondence, and we appreciate you guys. Newman, how has your week been?
It's been awesome so far, and don't forget, you can get us with that correspondence, sharkcastpod@gmail.com, or on the social media with the handle @sharkcastpod, and my week has been good, buoyed by a Sharks victory, because the official records will read that the Sharks rolled the Gold Coast Titans 40 points to 10, and that rockets us on the NRL rollercoaster ladder. Woo! Into seventh position, Sam, and it's feeling pretty good to be up there. It was a comprehensive victory, some nice football played, plenty of talking points, Moises injured, the Titans were atrocious, Britton Okoro scored a try, Andy Fafita's back. What do you want to talk about first, buddy?
A lot of forwards scored tries. I was happy with the performance overall. The first half was a little bit dusty. They should have been up by about 30. There was some bad defense on our right edge. Particularly, I'm going to point out one young man called Jesse Ramian. But the positives. That's the only negative I got. Positives. They went on with the job. Second half was brilliant. Second week in a row, scored 40 points against a team. It's only happened once before in the history. Three times in a row is what I'm talking about, which was back in the good old days. Yes, so maybe that'll happen this week. I don't know. But good performance. Let's start with Moylan.
It's just, he looked pretty good when he was out there. Yeah. And that whole attack with Sean Johnson and Matt Moylan and Josh Dugan is all sort of starting to click together. Chad Townsend putting together some really clever plays. And then just Matt Moylan goes down, hamstring tightness.
Yeah.
And it's just disappointing. It's all you can say. It's disappointing. And
you saw where he did it, yeah?
Yeah.
Doing the chase for the long range try, which he never had a chance of getting anyway.
Yeah, but and he didn't really even stride out that well.
I think it made me feel worse for him, though, that he was actually the one chasing the guy, even though he didn't have a chance, and you saw him just pull up.
Well, here's the thing. Although I liked the way we're playing, there's a couple of plays that keep getting run. There's a play with a Johnson no-look pass to Moylan out the back or to someone out the back that looks like it's almost a 50-50 play. If it comes off for us, we score.
To the right.
If it comes off, if it doesn't come off, someone from the other team just scoops the ball up and runs the length of the field. And in my view, that is not a good gamble. Maybe they need to put that one on the shelf, but I mean, what's your take on Moylan? He was starting to come good. He looked really hungry, which was great.
I'm convinced, even though I've publicly said he's not our fullback, I'm convinced he had to be in that team this year to get our most effective point scoring opportunities. You've seen that in the last 2 to 3 weeks. And I'm really gutted for the guy. I've never met him before in my life. I don't know him. But everything you and I have heard all summer long and all year long is that he's busted his butt to be out there. His attitude's been really great.
And it looks, his performances show that he's been working really hard.
Yeah.
And he's bought into whatever it is that the team's doing.
Yeah.
So it's disappointing, but you just feel like that's what you're going to get with him. He's one of those bodies that, I don't know, just can't cope with the cut and thrust of it.
Yeah, there is clearly something going on with that particular injury, though. It's not like it's broken arm, broken nose, broken leg. It's like that one thing.
Yeah.
So what the future holds, we're not sure. He's rumored to be back in about 4 weeks. Whether that's accurate or not, or with that prognosis, but...
I don't have the pattern. Well, I don't have the form with me, but would it be fair to say there's a pattern of we get a few games out of him, he gets injured, and then it takes him a while to come back from the injury? Like, that's the pattern we've had with Matt Moylan?
I think because of the injury type it is, it knocks him out for a long time each time. But you do get him back for a little while. It's looking pretty good.
And Bomber made the comment that he felt like it was as, you know, as much mental as it was physical with him. And as an athlete, it must be very difficult to play a game like rugby league with no faith in your hamstring that you can run and explode and do all of those things athletically.
Yeah, for sure.
It's going to affect you, surely.
It would, I would imagine. I think the three games that he came back in, though, he looked like it wasn't really bothering him. So we'll see what happens to our attack in the next month without him. It's going to be interesting. Got a big test coming up against the Panthers, which we'll get into later on. But
he certainly was adding something, though. There was, you know, drifting across field, finding Jesse Ramian boring into a hole.
I would say more than something, Adam. I would say a lot.
Very dangerous. Like the kind of player that an opposition coach would do. This is what we've got to watch out for Moylan. You know, eyes up football.
Absolutely. And I think one of our favorite listeners, Mark Horn, put it out 2 weeks in a row. He said that... this guy is lifting
the pivot of the team.
Yeah, and he's lifting the other guys. And you saw when he came back and was in form, you saw Chad and Sean improve as well. So it's up to those guys to keep that good form going. I'm not saying they can't, but I do think Moylan was a key factor there that we didn't really see coming, really, to be fair, the form.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know my position on him. I'd essentially written him off and said that he was my least favorite Sharks player and all this sort of these value statements that you make on podcasts. But I was pleased. I was very pleased. Yeah. And everything that we asked for from him, we were getting, and then another injury. So it's just disappointing, and hopefully he can come back from it. Speaking of injuries, Andrew Fifita, much maligned with his knee, looked great off the bench. He looked good against the Dogs and Manly. He looked great against the Titans.
He ran for 172 metres, Newman, the most for the Sharks. He made 13 tackles, 6 tackle busts. He is reborn off that bench. I guess the pressure is off when you come off the bench rather than start. He's got, in my opinion, it's a big statement, the best pack. Let me minus that. He's got the best bench in the NRL right now, because you've got Fifita, Rudolph, Talakai and Hunt. Take Talakai out of the centre position that he played to cover Moylan Dugan last week. When you're on that bench, and people hear me yapping about this bench all the time now, but it is remarkable, man, the way that they're doing it, the way they're managing it.
I'm such a big fan. I'm such a big fan of Talakai, Hunt.
Yeah.
You know, Rolls big Royce, Toby. They call him. CSSC call him the Rolls Royce. It's good on.
Got his first try last week.
Yeah, and I reckon he's going to get plenty more, but how good was it seeing the Andrew Fifita try? What did that remind you of, Samuel?
It did remind me of something. I've got to ask you, though, he's still got the angry pills. Well, he got up and he was yapping away about something.
Oh, obviously a comment had been made, and he didn't take too kindly to it. You know, he's an emotional guy, Andrew. Wears his heart on his sleeve, and it was good to see. It's good to see the players getting pumped up. Look, I'm not going to read too much. Can we just briefly talk about how bad the Titans were? I mean, we didn't give them anything, but geez Louise, that was terrible.
We've played two pretty poor teams in a row, so we are keeping a lid on things, believe it or not. And the massive test, which we'll get into later, massive test this week. Like the Penrith are not the Penrith of the past. They're a new team this year. But the thing that I'm happy with, Newman, is we're not grinding out 2-point wins against these crappy teams.
No,
we're doing numbers on them.
And you know, everyone's talking about the game opening up under Vlandis Ball Rugby League, and you know, the margins are much wider, and all of a sudden we're running up scores three weeks in a row. And I missed the Manly podcast. My apologies to the listeners out there, but you know, that was a great win, and the Titans win was a comprehensive victory. And all of a sudden you're starting to think, hey, this team could potentially possibly do something.
Do something, yeah. We're not sure what.
We're not sure what, but, and you know, we saw a really high quality game between the Storm and the Roosters.
Jeez Louise.
Which would set the benchmark, and I think it would be silly of anyone to say that we're at that level yet, but there's probably enough juice and time left in the season for this team to start reaching that level.
Yeah, and I think if the players can remain injury free to a to a degree and play to a bunch of their potential. You know, not every player is going to go out and play 100% of his potential every week at the same time, which sucks. But if they can all play above their game each week, I think that you can start thinking about mixing it with the top teams. And, you know, we've got some injuries already this week with Moylan out. Obviously, it's mix up in the team. It's all going to be a bit different. But it's actually a decent squad. And I love, as we said, the bench is huge. Let's talk about Blake Brayley. Two great games in a row.
I know, right?
Old 40-20 Blake.
Same thing. A couple of weeks ago, we sat here at the Royal Motor Yacht Club and talked about how he really wasn't offering anything. He doesn't kick out a dummy half. He doesn't run. And it's like he's a different player.
Brilliant.
40-20.
Yep.
I texted you. Didn't I text you through the game? And said, the Sharks just kicked the 40-20.
Yep.
You're the stats man. When was the last time that that happened?
I don't know. Last year sometime.
Wow. We don't kick many. And I was sort of, you know, I had the game on and I don't know. I took my eye off the play for a second. I'm like, oh, 40-20, it's going to bounce at a touch. I just thought it was Sean.
Mm.
And then when the replay went, oh, that was Blake. Awesome.
Now, is his 2/3 great games in a row, I'll say two, I guess, is that in part because he's playing 80 minutes and there's no one there to replace him? It's just his game out there. No one's going to come on and help him out. It's all his game. Is there anything to do with that?
Oh, look, mate, we noticed the market turnaround at the Bulldogs game. We sat here and talked about it. We talked about how they're more energetic, how Chad Townsend looked like a different player. Blake looked like a different player. Something happened within the squad that week, right, where they had, you know, the old rugby league honesty session, or Bomber Morris started laying down the law, or something has happened within the squad between now and then where they've said, look, if we're going to be fair dinkum, we need to pull our fingers out. And whatever it was said, or whatever they system they bought into has worked because they've looked different. And Blake, I got to say, Blake Brayley and Chad have been the ones who look the most different. You know, their games have gone from 4 and 5 out of 10 to 7 and 8 out of 10. Probably closer to 7, but you know what I mean. There's been the most improvement has been with Blake and Chad. And it's no surprise that when those guys improve so much, such valuable positions in the spine, that the team improves so much itself.
I got one more negative aside from we had some line breaks against us during the game on the right edge. Williams at lock, started at lock. He had 3 errors. He was taken off for a large part of the game, came back on towards the end. People are starting to talk about his errors. Now,
starting to talk? They've been talking about it all year.
More people are catching on. How do we deal with the situation? Because we know he can play. We know he's got a big body. We know that he's there for a reason. But we do see this weakness in his game.
Yeah, it's almost at the point now where you're expecting one or two errors from him.
We had 3 on the weekend.
You know, and one of those was he bombed a try.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
I think, I'm not going to suggest he was hooked, but he came off the field after that.
Yeah.
For a while.
He bombed a try. You know, I spoke about it on the last podcast I was on where I was confused that Magoulias wasn't even in contention for selection, given that they were both vying for a starting 13 job. But there's now more depth in the squad. You look at, we've rotated through some middle players with Hunt, Talakai, Sorensen, all coming and going, placing, you know, some pressure on Williams. So I don't feel like we lose anything if he was to be rested. You know, it might send him, you know, it's first grade rugby league. And you know, if you're not doing the business, then there's got to be a consequence to your action if you're letting the team down consistently.
Have we got someone that can play that barging role at lock without, you know, losing from the bench that we've already said is amazing?
Oh, I mean, it's going to change the makeup of the side, but we could always put, you know, a Connor Tracy back in to the on the bench, and then, you know, you could run another middle.
Maybe Toby or someone.
Yeah, Toby Rudolph could run in the middle. You just run three props as middles. Has there been any word on Magoulias since we last chatted?
No, like, there's nothing official. There's no badness from what we're hearing. It just, we know he's frustrated, which is fair enough, but the club's not saying anything. They're not hinting at any kind of issues or...
My only issue with the bench is, like, Williams is relatively big minute player. The likes of Hunt and Talakai aren't big minute players. So
no, and they can't be for a little while.
Yeah, you rotate him out. You know, Sorensen isn't a world beater.
No.
But there has to be some kind of consequence for... his ball control is poor. I mean, let's not beat around the bush.
I'm worried about making it something more than what it is. Like, I see the errors in front of me. I see them on my computer screen. I know it's there. But I just worry sometimes that I, you, whoever, are making more out of them what it is. Like, making it more serious than what it is, maybe, at the moment.
Well, the team's not, you know, it didn't cost the game or anything.
Like, can
like
you
that,
drop you know? Him for having two errors a week with his hands?
Well, yeah, you can. Because if he's not holding the standards, it depends how the coach is. If I'm coaching the team, you know, and I'm not, I'm a far cry from an elite level coach, but there are certain expectations you hold on individuals and you hold on the team. So the team mentality, the team culture, but that's upheld by individuals, and individual performances lead to that group mentality. And if you can't do the certain minimal things in the game to maintain that standard, then you're the weakest link.
So 12 runs, 138 meters, one tackle bust, 13 tackles, no misses. We don't see him 5 days a week at training. They do. Is it just one of those things that, as fans, we see him drop the ball and go, he's
got
to go?
Well, we've also got this. He's also got a bit of a reputation as a hard worker in defense and, you know, a heavy hitter. But you look at those defensive stats, they're not. I mean, we'd have to pull the stats out and compare them to other elite middle third players, but 13 tackles. Is
well, he
said?
Didn't.
13.
Yeah, but he didn't play a lot of time on the weekend either.
Yeah,
and he ran for 140 meters.
How many runs did he have?
12. So he's averaging over 10 meters a run.
Well, he managed 12 runs, but only 13 tackles.
There are a lot of guys who didn't do much. Wado had 2 runs for 12 meters and 19 tackles. So I mean, there was a lot of time that we had the ball.
Yeah, but Wade plays on an edge. He's a middle. It's a different story.
That is a different story. Is he in the 17 or not?
I have to know what's going on with Magoulis. With Magoulis, the like-for-like change for me is for Billy.
So if Billy's ready, then
I would
do
pick
it.
Billy, but I don't know what's going on with that. He's not even in contention. So what the hell am I talking about? Like, there's got to be a reason, right? There's got to be a reason why Billy Magoulis. We've talked about all of those benchmarks and all of those individual pieces of accountability. What's Billy doing wrong if he's not even in select? He's got to be doing something wrong that's not meeting those standards.
Maybe. What did you think of Bryson Goodwin, who scored another try for us?
I think he's just solid, reliable, capable. I like his body shape. I like his energy. He's certainly not elite level.
But for an old boy, he's all right.
Yeah, he's one of those kinds of guys that he provides very good. He's a money ball player. Money ball player is the best way I can describe him. How do you feel about him?
Yeah, happy enough. I mean, I noticed that when the Titans had a chance and he had to turn and run and chase a kick. It was sort of like watching me do it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of pros to him, and there's a reason why he can't do that as well as a younger man. So,
and the guy on the other wing, Air Katoa.
He's going all right.
You know, he's a good foil for Katoa because Katoa is,
yeah.
You know, he can do some brilliant stuff. But then again, he can just, you know, there's been some time where he hasn't turned and chased and there's been no effort. Bryson doesn't give you that. He gives you he does the one percenters. He just doesn't do the amazing.
The try he scored, he had a lot of work to do to get down low, stay in touch. So I was pretty impressed with his try scoring.
He does the one percenters
ability,
man.
Yeah.
You know what else? He's probably underrated. How many runs did he have, Bryson?
He had 11 runs.
Yeah, he carries the ball out of our end really well.
Yeah, they all did a job. Even though I said Jesse had some poor reads in defense, which he did. I'm sure the coach will be up him about that.
I don't think that Sione Katoa or Jesse Ramian would be. Now, I don't know this for a fact. I'm speculating. But out there, I don't think either of them are the greatest communicators in defense.
I know that guys inside as well as outside of you make you look how you look as well. But I'm sort of circling him for a lot of those line breaks. I think he just had an off game. He was shooting out and...
Yeah, but that tells me there's either trust or communication issues with inside and outside. No,
well, they Sione
Katoa is not a noted defender. He's not a big body. He's not...
he's got a guy called Kickout coming at him this week, so
yeah.
He's going to have to work on that.
Well, I'll tell you who is a good defender, though.
Yeah?
Josh Dugan. What about some of his hits from fullback?
Yeah, look, he's a strange case, Dugs. Like, we sat here... What are we in July? We sat here in February, if not January, saying, look, it's not looking good. He's not training at all, which was actually true.
It was true. He wasn't training. He doesn't want to be here. What's going on? Is he going to be medically retired? We asked all that stuff.
We can't say he didn't want to be there, but he just wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, which was his job. But time has moved on, and he's an important piece of the puzzle. You talk about Moneyball, and he's money, not about Moneyball, he's money, but he... I dare say he's earning it, you know, and he's an important piece of the puzzle.
If you apply that Moneyball frame to him and say, look, he's on good money, but he's good.
He is good. And he's
providing value.
He's giving all he can. I'm worried about the body at fullback.
He's way better suited to centre, let's be honest.
At this point in his career. I remember watching him in NYC for Canberra and then his early days for Canberra, and he was my favourite player.
Is that right?
He was brilliant.
Wow.
He was so good as a... I mean, NYC obviously was like touch footy.
Yeah.
But he was electric.
See, he came into the game when I had probably hadn't watched a Canberra game except when they were playing the Sharks for like 2 years. Mm-hmm. I had no clue who their players were. And then everybody's hyping up this guy called Dugan. And I'm like, who is this bogan?
I mean, potentially the worst thing he did was go to the Drags. And, you know, I can't remember why he did that. But yeah, he's going really good. And it's bizarre because... It's just bizarre.
It's a weird thing that when he goes really good, everybody sort of just shakes their head in bemusement rather than going, ah, he's awesome. It's kind of the reaction to him playing well is strange from Shark supporters.
But he gives you a reason to do that. It's not like people are like me, for example, I'm not picking on the kid. I'm like, nah, you sat on the crate for like 4 months and didn't do anything, and now you're... killing it.
He doesn't have... Do you know of anyone out there who's like a mega Dugan fan?
I think so. I don't know if I can name them, but I think so. Yeah, people like him as a player.
Yeah. I just feel like he's just... Doesn't matter how good he's going to be, he's never going to be adequately hyped.
I do remember... Was it last year? Maybe it was 2018 when... Remember he kept dropping... Was it last year he kept dropping the first catch every time?
Every game, yeah.
And everyone would just... At the game, everyone just like put their heads down and go, oh, well, that's us done.
But he'd play and then he'd out lift. Of the skin for the rest of the game, but he was good for one error.
So you had that awkward thing where people were bagging him, but then they'd like straight away go, oh, he's how good is he? He's awesome. It's like, well... This is, again, it's all confusing about Joshy. But he's ours for another year or two, and he's going pretty good. And you mean anything else you want to talk about the game? Anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, well, it was a bit disappointing on the ticket deal. You know, the Gold Coast Titans took all the 2,000 allocation, and we all know they haven't got 2,000 fans. They're flat out getting 2,000 fans in a regular season game.
I think that's outlandish you say that.
Yeah, I just thought that was a bit bizarre.
I think with their corporates and their members, they would have got 2,000 people.
Mm.
They probably were disappointed they turned up to watch that. But
they're a poor, poor rugby league franchise.
What do you do as the coach? Like, he's come from overseas, he's... You know, done really well over there and paid his dues, and he's got the dream job of being an NRL coach. He knows what he's walking into. But then the reality is, and you see it the first few weeks, and he's just like got his head down going, we're losing by 30 after 10 minutes. Yeah. What do you do? You just take the cash and that's it? Or?
He's got it. You've got to give a coach like that time to build a roster, because those types of players that he's got, Cartwright, oh my God, and Mitch Rain. You know, and Ash,
one of them's on like $700,000 a year. One's on $10 a year.
The halves, he needs...
Some of the forwards are pretty good.
Yeah.
Big boppers.
What he needs is Darren Mooney to go there and then start recruiting.
Bit of management.
Getting some of those recruits like Newcastle did. Like, they could have benefited from recruiting someone. This is going to sound like Mitchell Pearce.
Yeah.
Consistent high-level performer in an important position, rather than buying someone like Cartwright. And I was talking to Blaze from Singapore about it, like Peachy. Like, his career is now becoming extremely underwhelming from playing at that franchise.
Where do you see him positionally? Like, you're the coach again. Where is he starting for you? Or where is he... What's his job? Because I've got some strong opinions on
this. Well, let me hear your opinion. Let me ruminate.
He's not a centre, for starters.
No, I don't see him as a centre.
I've got him as a roving lock. And look, if he can not make 40 tackles a game, that'd be great. But I've got him doing what he did at the Sharks in the lower grades, and then in his 13 games that he sort of played when he came off the bench, roaming around, and he's a creative player. He has the surname of Peachy. It's not...
Yeah.
It's not a mistake. That's
a roving lock or even a Wade Graham edge type player who's sure. going to kick, pass,
sure.
run. I mean, he bombed a couple of really good opportunities for the Titans when he carved Jesse and he yep. took the wrong option. Instead of yep. going, he went outside when he should have gone inside, threw poor passes. I mean, but his career is going to, he's unraveling in terms of he's just going to be a footnote when he had all the talent in the world.
It's easy for us to say that because we've watched him from a young age and have a vested interest in him, whereas the general NRL fan who, you know, doesn't give two hoots about the Peachies, for example, they're like, oh, yeah, he's the guy who went to Penrith and did nothing. And he went to the Gold Coast for lots of money.
Yep.
He didn't want to go. He wanted to renege. And now he's just, like, taking the cash. Well, at the core, you've got a very, very talented footballer.
But I just don't think he's the kind of player the Titans need either. Like, if you're carrying him...
No, not on a big money either.
Him and a Cartwright and a, you know...
Unless you make them the focal point of the team. But they're not.
No.
That's what I mean. He's playing the centres, touching the ball five times.
I don't think he should be the focal point of the team. I think he should sure. be... He should have a part to play like Wade Graham does. Wade Graham isn't the focal part of our team. He is...
Yeah.
At points, he is... And they identify when he has a mismatch and they'll go to it. But they don't always go to Wade.
No, thankfully not.
No.
Thankfully right. not.
Anyway, so that wraps us up for this segment. When we come back on the other side, we'll have the news. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Sharkcast Radio would not be possible without the generous support of Dyson Logistics.
Dyson Logistics provides tailored logistical solutions to meet individual client needs and is set apart by its personalized service.
Dyson has a strong worldwide agent network, enabling highly competitive rates. Find them online at www.dysonlogistics.com or call them 8399 1844.
Dyson Logistics, service delivered.
Eddinghausen and Green laying it on.
Best scrum moves you've ever seen.
Welcome back to the show, and now it's come to that time where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of PointsBet Stadium, Shark Park in the Dark, Cogra Stadium, Campbelltown, Bank West. COVID.
I don't have Campbelltown. Campbelltown's an away place.
I know, but we played there.
Yeah, we did.
The news, Sam. Not a great deal happening in Sharkland.
No news is good news.
Podcast land. Oh, strap yourselves in. Here we go.
What's going on? You're throwing this on me. What's happening?
We have a date set for our annual Sharkcast Bash party. It will be July 31. So in 3 weeks' time, a Friday night game against... NRL favourites, the Broncos.
Oh, no. You know what everyone's thinking right now? They're not going to win a game, and then we're going to play them, and we're going to lose. Well, yeah. You know what? You might be right.
That's exactly what's happening. So, we all know that it's COVID times, and everything's a little bit different. I've been in constant liaison with the Yacht Club. It's going to be down there in their Marina Bar, Mariner Bar, or however you... Best pronounced
Mariner Marina. You can go either way, I guess.
Yeah, I guess you can go either way. Numbers will be limited. Mm-hmm. So we will be selling tickets, but don't panic. It'll be for a nominal, like, they'll be like $5 or something. It's just to ensure, because we've only got a very limited number of people that can come. So we just want to make sure that if you RSVP, you're definitely going to come. And the ticket will, of course, be transferable if you can get someone else to go on the night.
Sure.
We're going to have ex-players there. We're going to have music. There'll be food and beverage. And we'll be watching the game. It's going to be a great night out. Sad thing is, we don't have that many Friday night games when we can do it.
The good news is, historically, we've had the game at 6 o'clock. It's usually been a Warriors game.
Yep.
This is an 8 o'clock, more or less, kickoff, 7:50, whatever.
So we
whatever.
Can just rock in later.
So... Well, the game can start later. We can still rock up earlier, hang out, have a good time, talk about 2016.
Yeah.
But then the game comes on, boom, and then we can hang out afterwards as well.
Yeah. So, a few more details to iron out, but at least we've got a date. At least we've got a venue. July 31, the Broncos game. Put a circle around it. Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking. Jason Horse from Crips and Crips will be there.
Oh, yeah?
Kane from Dyson Logistics. I'm calling you out. You can get in your car, your ute.
Yeah.
Sharks branded color ute.
Yep.
Come down. We're going to get some ex-players in.
Yep.
And we'll get some music, and there'll be food and bev, and away we go.
Now, we do have people who historically have travelled from far away.
Yeah, you can get exemptions. Surely just write to the...
well, the Prime Minister will help you out.
Yeah. I need to be the Sharkcast party. There we go.
Old Scott Sorensen. I mean, Scott Sorensen.
Remember there was a rumour that Scott Sorensen was going to be...
That was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was a strong rumour.
It was a strong rumour that old ScoMo might have turned up.
Because we had some information from some of his people or
that he was going to be in the area, and he used to frequent the yacht club before he was given the top job. Anyway, put that in your diaries.
Wait, so you're saying the Prime Minister will be there this year? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Is there a chance he'll be there this year?
I just remember that there was a chance last year. Just jog my memory.
That's an actual true story.
Yeah. So I've got quite a bit of work to do to pull this together.
It's up to you, Newman.
Away we go.
I can't do it. I'm hopeless. speaking of fans, Newman, fans are back at the game in small doses. You there this week?
Yep. I got my tickets already, thanks to Benny Ross.
Ben Ross has got a tough job, as we spoke about off air, and he's doing a good job, and we appreciate that. And so if you remember, you would have gotten an email today about getting tickets. If you are a member and didn't get the email, just hit up the Sharks membership via the email. They'll get back in touch with you. But if you're Newman? Like a year-long season ticket holder, today you could get tickets. Tomorrow, I think it's like three-game flexi kind of thing.
I haven't really followed it. I just saw an email drop into my inbox. You can buy tickets, and I clicked on the link and bought tickets. And
You're in.
I didn't buy them. I had already paid for my ticket up front. So, unfortunately, I think it's going to rain.
Oh. Is that true?
Yeah, my tickets are non-covered. So.
Not on the... what do you call my place? The
Ivory Tower.
Not on the Ivory Tower?
No. No, okay. I just bought the cheapies this year.
Okay. I'll be looking down on you as usual, Newman. It should be great, though.
You won't be looking down on me. You'll be looking across at me.
Down and across, I think.
Yeah.
It'll be good. I got to go to the Eels. Was it the Eels game? Where did I go? The Canterbury game at the Eels home ground. And there was about 400 fans there. They were stinging for action. It was good fun. So I imagine.
How many total could be there? 2,000? Is that?
This week it's about... Four and a half at the most. 4,300, something like that.
So close to... I've been to Sharks games before when there's been 4,000 people there.
Yeah, me too.
You know, the old rainy old days, 2010. Oh.
Why did it rain every game?
Oh, not only were the team dismal,
it rained all
the time, didn't it?
Was that the year Pom... Someone's writing to us right now. Was that the year Pom broke the streak in the rain with the try down the right edge?
I remember being at a game. I think it was against Penrith. And it wasn't the Sharknado, but one of those heavy, heavy rainstorms came through. And David Simmons was playing fullback.
One of the toughest guys that played the game.
And the rain was so heavy. I was sitting in my usual spot where I sit in the lower concourse, just getting absolutely saturated. And the rain was so heavy. You know, the fullback stands, what, like 30 metres away from you?
Sure.
In the dead centre of the field. You couldn't see him. He's just like this blurred outline.
There wasn't much of him.
And then I watched the replay on Fox, and Warren Smith was like, look at it, come down. You wouldn't come down there if they paid you. And I'm like sitting there with a poncho on.
It's going to be
much more committed in those days. I was Samuel.
You're still committed. It's going to be much. It's going to be very cool to be down there. So I'm hoping we'll see somebody down there. Other news, Newman.
Will it be your first grade, okie dokie Jubilee experience? Have you seen
That's
the Sharks play there
question.
as a home team?
As a home team, no. But as an away team, you and I have.
Yeah, but as a home team, no.
No, I don't think...
Because it was lockout. It was lockout.
Was I there? No, they played the first game against South. I was working, but I was not actually sitting in a seat at the ground, no. Should be a lot of fun, Newman. I can't wait to get to Cogra.
I don't know how I'm going to get there. Anyway, I'm going. I'm pumped. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Good to be out.
Come
Good
on, man.
Be back.
Let's go for four in a row.
Yeah, four in a row. All right, what else is happening news-wise?
So, again, the Sharks are trending globally. When I say globally, I mean nationally. And they've released a really cool video
of the day in the life
of John Morris on game day. So
this is quite serendipitous, I guess is the word, because I've been watching that. I'm a bit late to it, but I've been watching on Amazon Prime The Test.
Yes.
The similar type thing where the Australian cricket team open up there. Now, I'm not a big cricket guy, but I'm a guy that's fascinated by leadership.
Yeah.
So I was quite fascinated to watch the bomber. And of course, the bomber thing's like 6 minutes. And The Test is like a whole series. But it was interesting to see an insight. And it was interesting to see something that you and I know that our listeners tend to bring up, that, you know, bomber's too matey.
Too nice.
He didn't come off as very nice, did he?
No. He's a badass, and he's very serious about rugby league. Like, we know this for a fact. I know this for a fact. You know this for a fact. And, you know, the fact that maybe at a press conference he doesn't blow up. Well, okay. Do you want him to? I don't know if you want him. Do you want him to be that guy? I mean, I see Ricky Stewart do it, and I'm embarrassed. But we know that he takes his job.
What about if he blew kisses at someone in the crowd?
We'll get to that in a sec. I'll tell you what, from where I'm sitting, I'm hoping I might be able to blow Ivan a kiss on after we win on Saturday. Look, we know that John is very serious about what he does, and we saw it. Everyone got to see it. If you haven't seen it, go to sharks.com.au and you'll watch it. It's a great clip put together by the media crew at the Sharks, and it's essentially just pre-game, half-time and post-game chat. And it's not an interview. It's Doco flying the wall.
He rips them.
He rips them. And so he should, because they weren't great in the first half.
Yeah.
And you can see the passion he talks and the energy that he's put into it. And he's at full time, he's spent, but he's just so happy that they got on with the job. And you guys write to us a lot and say, he's too matey, he's too friendly. Well, he's not.
And we knew that, but, you know.
It's hard to say that to someone.
But I can see how people would come to that conclusion.
Well, that's what I meant. At his press conferences, he doesn't really blow up. And he's a really nice guy. And he's, you know, if you see him, he's got manners and he's polite to people and he'll take a photo. And, you know, he's a clean living dude. He's a specimen.
I was blown away by how intense he was as a coach. So I got about 3 or 4 years ago when I was coaching juniors, I got like, selected as a reps coach, which is like the same as being selected for reps as a player. And I was coaching one of the under 13s development squads. There were three of them and I had one of them. And it was, you know, a good way to learn. And then we went to the next year and I had the 14s and they were developing into quite a good squad. But oftentimes coaches would come in and out.
Sure.
You'd get a guy that had been the you know, the under-20s coach, and he'd come in and take it for 3 weeks. And that's just the way it worked. And anyway, Bomber just started with the club at the time. And he come down and was running sessions and running the team for a while. And I was just blown away by, like, man, this guy is taking this seriously.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's reps. I get it. But he's that focused, that full on. Like, I'm feeling like this is, like, first grade State of Origin level. You know, he's just so... you know, into this drill, this little ball handling drill that he's getting them to do, and the kids are sort of looking at each other going, this guy's from another planet. Like, he was full on then.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine what he's like day to day at training.
I mean, you are the careers guy, and there are different ways to get to the top of your field, I'm sure. But being I'm not going to say intense, but doing something really well over and over and over again, it's not going to hurt.
If you are laser focused and put enough time into anything, you become an expert.
Yeah.
Just, and expertise is valuable. Valued.
I've had chats with him about almost about your favorite word, Moneyball, and about recruitment and that kind of stuff. And he's so on in the zone about everything. He's thinking about this massive picture of the Cronulla Sharks. He's not only thinking about week to week. He's thinking about the future.
He's thinking about
when he's not there, after his time. Like, he's that guy.
And one thing that I really like about him, I know Dave Howlett, his assistant coach, really well, and I count him as a very, very close mate of mine. But both of those guys are very, very focused on not just good players, but good people.
Yep.
Like, they want good human beings in our organization that are going to do the right thing. And that's why the whole Bronson Cherry thing hurt everybody so much.
Yeah.
You know, and he was a kid and everything like that. But
for John Morris to be involved in it's it's a loose term, but to be involved in a drug scandal in his coaching career would have, you know, broken his heart.
100%.
And also just torn him apart.
Because they're not just looking at, oh, is this, can this guy play? They're looking at, is he a positive influence? Is he a good person? Is he good for our brand? All of those things are almost, well, I wouldn't say they sit above and beyond their footballing ability, but they play an enormous role in whether they get recruited or not.
Yeah, and his key job is still to win games. We know that there was a little period this year where he wasn't. The pressure was on for whatever reason. Fair enough, whatever. Maybe it's not fair enough. But aside from winning games, like I'm pretty sure at the moment he's our guy. Unless Craig Bellamy or Trent Robinson comes along, I don't know. I'm okay with it.
You watch a lot of different sports and you know, watch a lot of American sports. Mm. Do you feel like in his development as a coach that little bit of pressure that he got, that every coach gets, that your job could possibly go to someone better, right? Like a Eddie Jones, you know, someone with a big reputation.
Yeah.
Or that you could be sacked for low performance. Do you feel like that's going to assist in his career development now he seems to have got the team pushing in the right way, or do you just think it was outwardly unfair?
I don't think it was fair. I'm not going to use the words outwardly unfair, but I don't think it was fair, the pressure over the 3 weeks, whatever it was. I think it can only improve him as a coach. But having said that, I think he's been around the traps long enough as a player, let alone a coach. Dare I say coach, he's been under for so long. He's literally seen it all happen.
Yeah.
How he handles that in the future, I think, will be the positive, because I would imagine he would have lost a bit of sleep over it.
We don't know, but like I felt, and this is just me reading the body language, I felt like it was weighing on him.
It definitely, I would imagine it was. And I think that he's such a clued on kind of guy that he probably does read a lot of his press and he does read a lot about the Sharks. And I'm not suggesting to you he's got a Google alert. He knows what's going on. Like, he's a smart guy all around. He's done university degrees. He's a smart guy. So the other thing I want to point out is that our coach has played 300 exactly NRL games. Does that mean 39 guys to play over 300 games?
He knows the game.
So I think at the moment we're in pretty good hands. I know that losing sucks, and I know that, you know, having players injured a lot is just not ideal, but I was surprised by the pressure he was under. Let's leave it at that.
It seemed premature to me. That's my take on where I was trying to lead you. The pressure was premature, but I think it's going to be good for him as a coach in the long run.
Yeah.
To have been under that pressure and to have bounced back.
Yeah.
And go, this is what I was trying to do. This is where we're going.
Huge test this week, which he said in that little piece. Hey, did you watch The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan doco?
I watched 2 episodes, but...
Yeah. Not your thing?
Oh, everyone was frothing on it so much, and then I was just like, not frothing on it.
Oh, I froth, baby. I loved it. And I'm not a basketball guy. But yeah.
See, I was as a grommet, like in that 90s period when Michael Jordan was like the biggest superstar in the world. Like, I loved basketball.
You didn't like the doco?
The doco made me uncomfortable as a sports fan.
Why?
Because I looked into that documentary and saw the adoration of sports, and it made me feel uncomfortable about where I was in that.
As in how you feel now about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't get past that, though?
Not really. I'm just like, these guys are getting paid so much money. There's so much politics.
That's another level.
There's so much, you know, this is world.
But I mean, the storyline of the GM wanting to rip apart literally the greatest team that ever existed... That's a great storyline.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I've mentioned many, many times that I basically don't watch any other sport other than rugby league. And I only watch the Sharks because there's a local element. I just can't buy into anything that's not local. I don't know. That's something that's happened to me as I've matured.
Oh, you're talking recent times, sort of.
As I've matured, yeah. Absolutely.
You've only matured in recent times.
It's become more and more prevalent in the last 5 years.
Interesting.
Like, I used to watch a lot of, like, I used to quite enjoy the A-League. I couldn't. There was a new team. I didn't even know they had a new team.
Yeah, there's more coming. If the comp keeps going.
Can survive. They're all stuck on planes, are they?
No, I meant survive in other ways, but yeah, they are. That's a whole other story. Okay, well, that's interesting. Maybe that's the summer edition why you can't watch anything that's not local based. It's not wrong. I just, everyone, you know, that's your thing. That's cool.
All right.
So you think me sitting here in a Minnesota Vikings jumper right now is a crock of shit?
I don't think it's a crock of shit. I don't understand it.
Okay.
Whatever makes you happy. Like, life's hard and there's so much negativity. Oh. If you can get positivity
isn't
out of
that lovely? I like that.
Go as hard as you want.
Thanks, Stephen.
But if I see my Facebook feed get lit up with people frothing about Liverpool or some English soccer franchise or... And I'm like, I don't know how you resonate with that, but that's not for me to decide.
But I mean, if you had started following Liverpool at the age of 10 and now you're almost three decades later and you'd maintain some interest the whole way through, you'd be pretty happy this week as a Liverpool fan, right?
Yeah, of course. But I just didn't realize there were that many people from the age of 10 that were following.
Yeah, we all did because of like Johnson and everything.
Whatever makes you happy, if it gives you happiness in your life.
This could be the summer thing. Nice and positivity. And
see, my problem with sport is that it breeds a lot of not like people to not be nice
well,
to each
other.
Well,
the Ivan Cleary thing, I actually know the guy. I know the guy. I vaguely know the guy. Yeah. And he's actually not a bad fellow.
Yeah.
It was his son. The son did something and then Ivan did something back and then the bloke blew up because of their massive West Tigers fans and what Cleary did to them. And then Ivan did his thing. And it was an interesting look. I honestly don't really know how I feel about it. But I was surprised.
I thought it was a poor look from Ivan Cleary. Like,
yeah.
He did leave that club in a lurch. And he should, in my view, he should just sort of put his head down and go, yeah, that wasn't my finest hour.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't realize the West Tigers connection and it was just another crowd to him. And
well, the dude was wearing Tigers gear.
No, it was in like he'd forgotten about the fact that he'd gotten on the bus and that kind of thing, you know. So, I'll tell you what though, if I see him this week, I'm going to blow him up.
Your mate might have been like quite strongly reminding him about
this. He was, yeah. Not my mate, someone I vaguely know. But I'm going to blow him a kiss if I see him this week.
Yeah,
this
we should all blow him a kiss. Win, lose, or draw. There's not enough love in the world.
Win, lose, or draw. What about pre-game? I'll get the whole stand to turn around and blow him a kiss. I might try and organise that, Newman.
All right, let's wrap up. That was a nice chat. That
not much news, but lots of chat.
Lots of chat. That's people just tuning in to hear us blathering on. All right, let's cut to a break. And when we come back on the other side, we've got heaps of letters this week. So this is Sharkcast Radio. Buying or selling a property is one of the most stressful undertakings that you can do in your entire life. Luckily, Sharkcast Radio is supported by one of the best and most honest real estate agents in the Sutherland Shire market and is an expert in the North Caringbah region. I sold my property with Jason Hawes from Cripps and Cripps Real Estate and could not have been happier with the outcome. Call Jason on 0410-417-450. That's Jason from Cripps and Cripps Real Estate, 0410-417-450.
So Gallen, scrum base play, Barber. Barber scores. Gallen went to the blind side out of the pack. Picked the ball up, gave it in to Barber.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train.
Welcome back to the show. And now it's come to that time where we see what the little sharky who rips around the neighborhood on a high-vis motorbike has jammed into the slot at 1 Eddinghausen's Lane, Woolooware. You can get a sharkcastpod at gmail.com or on all the socials at sharkcastpod. And Sam has a shark tooth-shaped letter opener and a stack of mail.
I do. The first one is from Caleb. And Caleb says, Jack Williams no doubt gives us plenty of meters and energy, but he had three errors in the first 20 minutes against the Titans and has had issues with errors all year. Do you guys reckon he is at risk of losing his starting spot if he continues to be unable to secure the ball?
What a fantastic letter. And we already covered that in the early section because it was such a big talking point. It's a bit of a dilemma, though. I still don't have a great answer, and that's why the coach is paid a lot more money than I am.
I think if Jack Williams didn't have the body shape and strength that he did, it would be a no-brainer and it would be go to park footy, go to the park, whatever, and hold on to that ball, you know, go to sleep with the ball, whatever you got to do. But I think because He has a good size. He has a good shape. He can run. He can tackle. He can put on hits. I think it's, yeah, it comes a bit more blurry.
Yeah, and there's no ready, like with Billy Magoulias on the outer, people are going to say Newman's obsessed with Billy Magoulias. Billy Magoulias on the outer, there's no real like-for-like replacement. I don't see Royce Hunt having the motor to play those minutes. Talakai. No. Yeah,
different style of
footballer. Style of footballer. Yeah. Maybe Toby Rudolph could jump
Toby
in
would
there.
Be your guy. But then you do lose that 100 and whatever, you know, 140 metres off the bench.
And he's going to lose a lot of that sort of explosive power by, that'd be blunted.
Yeah, I mean,
playing in the middle.
Toby has started this year and it hasn't changed his game too much, but I do at the moment prefer him off the bench.
Yeah.
There's less errors
him
from
and
him.
Andy off the bench is great.
Oh, man, that bench is so good. So, well, Caleb, I don't know, man. Like,
now, you read a letter out last week on the pod.
Yeah.
I got spotted at the Ramsgate Farmers Market.
Yeah, by one of our great listeners.
Yeah. We had a great chat.
Oh, you wrote a good letter. I featured him on the Manly pod. And
it was great to just chat footy and the Ramsgate Farmers Market. Samuel, have you ever been?
I've been. I've actually almost been with you. I've seen it. We've hung out there, so that's how good your memory is.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
My memories.
I did reply last week and I said we do love a farmer's market at Sharkcast Pod, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know.
I tend to go to the Southo one.
Yeah, well, strokes for different folks.
When I say that.
Our mates north or south play there all the time.
They're there a lot.
Yep.
They're out there a lot jamming. They've got good coffee. It's not bad. I know it's in Sutherland, but it's not bad. So what am I trying to say about Sutherland? Nothing. I love Sutherland.
You love it.
I love the Sutherland Shire.
All right. We got a letter from Michael, regular emailer Michael from Canberra. He says he feels very sad for Moylan. He was going well. We need him going well in the team. And we both agree with that. Other than that, the team is looking pretty solid. Bench looks good. Andy looks good. Royce, you got a try, which is a great reward. It's the third year. This is an interesting stat. It's a third year running. We are 4-4 after 8 games. Done okay to bounce back after an 0-3 start. If we can pick up this Panthers game, it will be a really good win with the Warriors and Dragons ahead. Yeah. And we're not going to talk about games moving forward, but we certainly aren't playing the cream de la creme twice moving up forward.
No, the draw is really nice for us, and that's what's a bummer about starting off so slow. And I had a feeling that if we could get past the Dogs, then we have the Titans, so it's two winnable games coming to a big game this weekend. Yeah.
We got
Panthers.
Manly at a good time.
Sorry, Manly as well, yeah. So, but then as Michael says, we've got the Warriors and Dragons coming up who are not going too well, despite both of them winning some games. But it is one game at a time for us, but the draw is favourable. So we are still alive. I noticed here he said Wade Graham had some insanely low numbers this week. I would swap him into lock and move Williams to the edge. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I don't like Williams on an edge. He's a middle player. His body's for the middle. He doesn't have the skill out there and he doesn't have the lateral movement. So that's a no for me.
Do you want to rest Wade as well rather than having him so involved in the middle of the field? Like he's okay hanging out on the edge. Like his body's a bit older these days and he has had some injuries. Is he better out on the edge?
Wade still isn't looking that great. Given there's an improvement in the team and he's improved, but
I think he is carrying an injury somewhere.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, he's a big game player, Wade. Mm. You know,
well, he didn't need to do anything last week.
Didn't need to do anything, yeah. So you're not going to, you certainly don't hang him. And hopefully, that you know, come the big games, he's going to be able to step it up. And maybe he's just limping himself through. He's had plenty of NRL campaigns, and sometimes the good players know they've just got to get through these games so that they can fire at the back end.
Now, Michael also has a great point. Could be a year where the top four isn't such a big deal with the crowds being capped. What's your thoughts on that, Newman?
Yes, absolutely.
How good's that?
I think it is good, but the way the... I mean, it's probably not as bad to not finish outside the top four as it would be in previous years, but still the way that...
You can't lose.
You know, you can't lose and you don't get weeks off, etc.
Yeah.
You want to be finishing in that top four to be a real show. But yes, if you're going to finish outside the top four any year, this is the year.
Yeah.
Love this next letter. Sam, lay it on us.
So we have Matt. Matt's got two parts to the letter. He says, I feel bad for Moylan. He actually looked pretty dangerous while he was on the field. but I think it's pretty clear his body's no longer up to the challenge of being a fullback. I always liked him at 5'8", but obviously Sean is in good form. There's no place for him there. What are your thoughts on Moylan's future? Does he have one beyond his current contract? So I'm going to say he definitely has a future playing football still, but I think you might see the dollar signs come down. I think you might see the years on the contract narrow, and I'm not sure where he's going to go.
I don't think that. I know that.
Well, I'm just saying. You and I'm trying to be nice about it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's all over.
His big money years are behind him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe he could have an incentive-based contract where he can make some good money.
And unless he starts, turns it right around and starts getting picked in Origin and playing well in Origin, then his big money days are behind him.
He won't be picked in Origin because they just can't trust that those injuries. You can't have a guy going down in Origin. But I don't think his career is over. I just think it's going to be a different one for him. And he might even look to become that utility guy off the bench for a team. I don't know who the team will be. He's got, I believe, a year and a half at least left with us. So we'll see how the injury comes. But I'm guessing they're not going to rush him back, given what's going on.
No way.
The second part of the question is for the 1% music segment, which does tend to come and go week to week. But I know you guys are big Bruce fans, and I've heard you discuss Kurt Vile in the past. Have you heard Kurt's cover of Downed Bound Train? I personally love it. It's fuzzy and melancholic, everything I need in a song. I'd even go as far as to say I prefer it. It's on the So Out of Reach record. Thanks heaps, guys. Matt.
Thanks, Matt. I just checked my Spotify account, and my most played artist...
You love him.
He's Kurt Vile. Now, I promote myself as a punk rock guy, but, you know, parenthood and...
Punk rock.
...has somewhat... Have you seen my bike? What did you refer to my bike as?
Something about a grommet?
Newman's punk rock bike.
Did I?
and...
No, I just laugh at the words punk rock, because I love punk rock too, but it's so hard to define what those words mean. Because if someone comes at me, I don't even care if it's Mark Horn, and says it's the Sex Pistols, I'm going to laugh in your face.
Well, it's not. You and I and anybody that's musically educated.
I'm not saying Horn is going to be.
We're going to go off TV. Did you watch the SBS series with Called Punk, which was produced by Iggy Pop?
No.
It was a four-part series. No. Fantastic.
Yep.
Get it on SBS iView. But they interview everyone that was involved, like there were a few of the remaining Ramones, the guys from Bad Brains, but Johnny Rotten gets a big start.
I've never been a big Johnny guy. Something about him. And no. Hopefully someone can school me on this, because I look at the Sex Pistols as almost like a boy band put together to play that aggressive.
They kind of were.
Yeah, that's what I thought. By who was the guy, the ringleader?
Malcolm McLaren.
Yeah.
Who owned a fetish clothing store.
Yeah.
And he thought that the perfect vehicle to promote his clothing that had safety pins and stuff in it would be to get it. And it was good. But the music for the time was like God Save the Queen is a banger. But as punk evolved, the Clash did what they did so much better.
Oh my God. There's no contest. And they lived... I'm not going to say that they lived the punk rock life, but they lived it was almost like a cliched rock and roll life is what they lived. That's also where I get a bit funny about it, because punk rock's not really about that.
No. And you know, there's the whole murder thing as well.
Murder or suicide? What are we talking about?
Well, Sid Vicious murdered his girlfriend.
Oh, then is that what happened?
In the tub? Then he checked out.
I hope our younger listeners aren't listening to this.
Yeah. Anyway, so back on Kurt Vile. I love Kurt Vile. I have that LP on LP.
You have that LP on LP.
Yeah, I have that LP. Sorry, on vinyl, and it's not my favorite Kurt Vile LP. He's still kind of discovering his sound, but I'm gonna re-listen to that cover and come back to you next week. Have you heard it, Sam?
I haven't heard the cover. I'm definitely gonna listen to it. I like Kurt quite a lot. Matt wrote, I'd even go as far to say I prefer it. So I replied, of course, in email, and I said, turn it up. And he wrote back saying, no, I love The Boss. I'm a huge Boss fan. I was like, I'm just razzing you.
Well, man. I'm telling you right now, Matt, that I love Kurt Vile way more than I love The Boss.
You?
I have no problem with that.
You traveled all the way to Homebush to watch The Boss.
I did.
And you said you loved it.
I did. I saw Kurt Vile at Wollongong Uni. That was so good.
It's a good room, that one.
Like, there's like 80 people there.
Good room. Kurt Vile's really cool. Like I don't like him like you like him, but I like him.
But the thing with Kurt Vile is, right, you can put him on with your, you know, making dinner. Yeah. And it's the kind of music your wife's going to say, this is cool. And my daughter really loves the stuff with Courtney. My daughter's four. She really loves the Courtney Barnett Kurt Vile record.
Who doesn't love Courtney Barnett? Come on.
A lot of people don't like... Dane Wheeler does not like Courtney Barnett at all.
Dane, don't take offense. I'm surprised he even knows who he is. Is that a bit alternative for Dano?
I think so. But there's a lot of people that don't
Dane
like
had
Courtney
a, Barnett. Dane and his wife had a baby this week.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Welcome.
How do you know Dane doesn't like...
Yeah, I saw him post it on Facebook once. I think he posted, what is a Courtney Barnett?
Oh, man.
Well, a lot of people don't like it because she's got that Aussie drawl.
She's talented, successful.
And she's a talented, successful female, which intimidates
she's
some people.
She's huge around the world.
I love her.
I respect her so much.
That song, Depreston, have you heard that? I've heard most of them. She talks about going house hunting?
Mm.
That's unbelievable.
Mm. I know her partner through music. And
she's with Jen Clark?
Yeah, who's an amazingly talented woman. And they're just... They're awesome people. And
Jen Clough is like some sleeper bangers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Underrated.
Yeah. I'm surprised anyone doesn't like Courtney Barnett. That's the letter section, Newman.
We got more than 1% rock and roll there.
We did. We
talked about Kurt Vile, Courtney Barnett, the punk Sex rock. Pistols, the Clash.
Write in and tell us what you think punk rock is and who it is. RCB's writing in right now going, it's No
some,
Effects.
It's some 41.
And Josh Obi-Wan, what's he saying? He's saying like it's...
some of that math rock stuff that he... Thrice.
And Mitch is writing in going, no, it's Metallica. Their first album's punk rock.
No. Mitch would be all over. Mitch has got a great eclectic taste in music.
I can't wait for these guys at the party to just beat me up in the corner.
He does go down the metal road more than the punk road.
Mitch loves it.
That's it for the letter segments. Let's wrap it up. Or should we just cut straight into the game preview?
We'll come back.
Let's have a break and we'll come back with a preview. The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking is a hidden gem of the Shire, situated on the banks of the beautiful Port Hacking, and is the best venue around for lunch, dinner, casual catch-up with friends, or function.
They always show NRL games live on the big screens, and Sunday arvos are superb with live acoustic music in the beer garden while the boats frame the backdrop. And Newman, I love acoustic music, you know that?
Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days and nights, serving great food, and if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free...
garlic bread, baby.
The RMYC Port Hacking, Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or check out their Facebook feed to see what's on.
Fafita tries to crash his way over, he does! Fafita got the ball over the line! Michael Innes and Ben Barber celebrate!
Welcome back to the show, and it's a preview of a very big game this weekend, a real test for the Sharks. They're going quite well, the Penny Panthers.
Mm.
With Matt Moylan out, obviously an ex-Panthers boy, it's going to be difficult. Samuel, do you have a team for us?
Sure do, and it's a little bit interesting. At fullback, we have Josh Dugan, Katoa, and Ronaldo, the great one, is back on the wings. Bryson Goodwin shifts to, I'm going to say, left wing, left center. And Jesse Ramin will be in the right center. Shuan Johnson, Chad Townsend, your halves. Andy's been named as starting prop with Aaron Woods, but you would have to figure that he would maybe not be starting. And we have Nakora, Wade Graham, Jack Williams rounding out that scrum. Immediate bench, Toby Rudolph, Braden Hamlinwelly, Siasifa Talakai and Royce Hunt. You got to think that ULE will start. Extended bench, Scott Sorensen, Connor
and
Tracy.
We didn't give any BHU clicks. Big heavy unit, Braden Hagelman, ULE, but he's really good.
We can do that. Will Kennedy and Nene McDonald named again. So ULE was great. He doesn't really play too many average games. He's not in his prime necessarily, but he's just come into NRL and
churning it out, mate.
I'm a huge fan.
Now, the Penny Panthers are currently sitting in second position with 6 wins and a positive points differential of 52. And obviously, they are coming off a win against the West Tigers 19-12. And the week before that, they had rolled in pretty impressive fashion the South Sydney Rabbitohs, who were no mugs, 20-12. So, good defense, good attack. They seem to have a different resolve this year, the Panthers, and they're real contenders.
They have the best completion rate in the NRL. They're forcing the most dropouts. here's one for you, Newman, you'd love. They've lost one game in the opening eight matches. It's only the second time they've done that. The other time was in...
2003.
Almost. 1991, their first premiership. Wow. So they're going really well. The thing about them this year, Newman, is they're closing out games. You would have seen it towards the end of that Tigers game and definitely in other games where they just know when to set up the field goal.
Yeah, they definitely must sort of made themselves a reputation as the field goal kings. So you wouldn't want to get into a game where, you know, it's down to 1 point, although it's very easy to say that. But
yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know, Cleary's very good, ice cold.
He's come together this year a lot. He's running a lot more. He has the most line engagements. He is not missing opportunities to score from close.
Now, I had someone write to me privately and ask what a line engagement was. So can you just please clear that up, please?
Is that a Raz or?
No, that was a genuine inquiry.
Because I spoke about it last week. It's imagine Blake Brayley running from dummy half.
Yeah.
Engaging the line ahead of him, but is not actually ever doesn't have any intention of getting tackled.
He passes.
He just passes.
All right. Okay.
And it's the same with a prop. Could be anyone.
Yeah.
A line engagement is just you. I'm running towards you, but I'm drawing it for someone else.
Right. Draw and pass. Beautiful.
So he runs a lot in that sense.
Well, that means he's asking the most questions of the defense. This is where we need Wado to come out of his funk and introduce Cleary to his left shoulder.
Yeah, I think that they're going to have to play very physical against the Penrith team. Penrith, they're conceding like no more than 16 points a game, and their forward pack is going pretty good.
They got some monsters. I mean, obviously, Kickow's a special.
He's unbelievable.
You got to, in that kind of player, you just can't. He's sort of, I call him an exponential type player. The more good things he does, the more good things he's going to do. So if you put him under the microscope and really heap the pressure on him, you might be able to razz him off his game and get him to go AWOL.
I mean, the thing is, we've got a tremendous record against this mob in the last 10 years.
We do.
And they won the last game against us, but we have shut him down in the past, so we know how to do it.
Now, I'm disappointed. This game was supposed to be in Orange.
Yeah.
No, in Bathurst.
Somewhere, yeah.
And I've been doing a bit of work out there as the careers guy, and I was looking forward to heading out over the dividing range.
Well, now you're heading over the other dividing range.
Yes, the Georges River.
Yeah.
First time, Sam, as a home game for the Sharks.
For you?
Yeah.
Yeah. How's that make you feel?
Feeling. Don't like it.
Don't like it?
I'm not going to pretend to like it.
No one's asking you to.
It's just a necessary evil. That's the way
I view
it.
The fact that you're going means... You're supporting
it in the
sense... I'm going
because I missed going out.
No, Hang on a sec. You're supporting it in the same way that someone like me is supporting it, and it's just like you're going, yep, okay, that's what's going on. Let's do it, and let's get back to Shark Park as soon as we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. If other people are embracing it and good on them, and as you say, everyone's different, and everyone finds happiness
whatever
in what...
Whatever makes you happy, man.
Walking in on Saturday, I'm hoping that the improvements are just vast from the last time I was there. Which I think was with you, maybe.
And I'm sure that the Sharks game day crew have been waiting for this opportunity for months to have a home game where there's going to be fans. So they're going to be turning on. All right, so what are we predicting, Sam?
Man, I'm a bit worried about this game. I do think that we can win it, but we got to go out there and play good football. Like, Shawnee can't.
Well, now's the time to see good football.
Yeah, thanks. Shawnee can't be throwing the ball on the ground for starters.
Oh, come on, Sean.
I'm not picking on him because he's got the most try assists in the NRL and he's killing it. He really is. His kicking game's great. His attitude's great. Everything has to stick, though. Yeah. You know, Jesse can't run out of the line. Like, they have to play above their skin.
In that Titans game, we butchered a couple of really good opportunities.
They should have been up by 30, man.
Because the Titans were rubbish. They let us get away with that. You're only going to get a certain finite number of opportunities against a team like the Panthers, and you have to make them pay. So, absolutely right. But I think it's going to be a cracker. I think the Sharks will be up for it. And you know what? Even if we do lose, who cares? As long as they're competitive, I think that's what we're looking for at this stage.
I care if we lose, but I understand what you're saying. And yes, we don't want to get flogged. We want to be in it the whole way. They're going to compete 80 minutes, so we have to do the same. It's no good us coming in out of the game and thinking that Sean's going to put it on a dime and then do something. Or it's too much for them, and we've seen that. If they play like a team for 80 minutes, they're in and up to their eyeballs.
I think it's a very winnable game. I think the Panthers will come in with an attitude of Sharks are a bit up and down. You know,
no, I don't know, man. I think they're a different team.
I think it's a game where we can ambush them. I really do.
Oh, I hope so. But I don't think Penrith this year, I just think they're a bit different. I hope I'm wrong. I'm not a huge Penrith guy. I hope I'm wrong.
You're a Newtown guy.
Yeah. Go the Jets. I think that also missing Moylan. Moylan has just slayed them in years gone by.
Yeah.
It's been hilarious.
He's always
to watch.
Found some...
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's always found some something extra.
I think his career best game highlights would be against Penrith. Yeah. I really do. So
agreed.
I mean, that's not going to happen.
It was always good. Wado and Luke Lewis always had stormers too.
What were they doing? Like, why would you let those guys go? I mean, I understand Matt Moylan at the time wasn't in peak form, but... Wade Graham left after, I think, maybe 4 years, but like, I don't know, like 40 games or something. And he was their future. Mm. Luke Lewis had already established himself well above being an amazing footballer. I mean, they could look, they could, you know, ring me up and go, why'd you let David Peachey go? Why'd you let Preston? And yeah, okay, it's circumstantial.
Well, I can tell you that letting David Peachey and Preston go were both two massive mistakes. And that should be what the Penrith fans say about letting those two guys go. Mistake.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm looking... on the wall at your club, you know, there's a Sharks premiership thing, and I can see Luke there with the Clive Churchill around his neck.
Yeah,
he was such an integral part, and they let him go.
Yeah,
they let him go. Gus had a reason why to let him go.
All right, well, that wraps us up for another episode of Shark Cast Radio. Thank you to our sponsors, and make sure that you put July 31. Put a circle around it, and then we'll get you some details. And as we say every week, Samuel.
Go the Sharks. Let's beat Penrith. Let's go for 4 in a row, and let's give this thing a shake.
Time to see good football, for the Sharks are here at the Sharks.